Could we look, please, at John chapter 11, the Gospel of John chapter 11, and verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Down, please, to verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Verse 38. Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. There was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. As Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Now, I don't doubt that those of us that are saved here today, whether young or older, but that there isn't some desire to want to please the Lord and to bring glory to Him. To live, as we've been hearing, that separated life, separated from the world, separated to God, to live a devoted life, to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the difficulty comes, doesn't it, in how does this happen? How do we do this? Many of us, likely, when we were first saved, out of love for the Lord, we wanted to please Him. And without knowing it, we tried to do that in our own ability, our own strength, and we fell flat on our face. Has that ever happened to you? And we have to learn that just as there's nothing we could do to save ourselves, there was nothing in ourselves we could do to live for Him, to bring glory to Him. Now, I think we get some insight into how can we bring glory to the Lord in this chapter we read. Now, interesting, it's about a man named Lazarus. And his name, if you have a strong concordance and look it up, it says that his name is God is my helper. But as you read this account in John chapter 11, it doesn't seem like the Lord's helping him at all. And I think from time to time, if we're honest, we might have the same thoughts. Oh, we know That verse, even in Hebrews, the Lord is my helper. We appreciate it, but then because there's difficulties, because things don't turn out the way we think, there's always that temptation. Where's the Lord here? He's not helping me. I think it's five times in the first six verses we read about the word sick or sickness. Now, this word, beside the normal meaning, is also translated in our Bibles, sometimes weakness, sometimes infirmity. Maybe the best well-known verse in which it's found is Romans 5 and 6. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Without strength is here translated sick, but the underlying meaning is no strength, or as Mr. Vine puts it, inability to produce results. Now, I want to apply, I'm not speaking so much of physical sickness here, I want to apply Lazarus' situation to the situation that I think we all experience from time to time. And there may be some, even this weekend, you are at a situation in your life when you are without strength, unable to produce results. Now, this could be for a variety of reasons, circumstances, maybe at the office, at home, and there are situations that you know you just can't handle yourself. It's beyond you. Maybe in the assembly. There may be even your own behavior, your own attitudes. You wish you were different, but you know that there are behaviors that are beyond your ability to change yourself without strength. Now, interesting, Lazarus' sisters. Here's a man now, he's without strength. He can't help himself, nobody else can help him. So that his sisters, they do the right thing. They send word to the Lord Jesus, telling him about the problem. And isn't that what we do? When there are situations that are too much for us, we bring it to the Lord. Well, I hope we do. Do you do that, young brother, sister? But I think it would be to the sister's surprise. They didn't get the answer I don't think that they were hoping for. The Lord says there's a purpose in this. And we read about that in verse 4 of John chapter 11. The Lord says this sickness, this inability to produce results is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. You know, there was a time many years ago when I had an issue in my life that was beyond my ability to change. And it was an issue that was close to my heart. You know, sometimes we say, well, nothing I could do about it, and just, you know. But there are some situations close to your heart, and you just can't let it go. And this verse, this is the way I looked at it in my life. And maybe we can apply it in our lives today. Brother, sister, this inability to produce results in your life, whatever the situation may be, doesn't have to end, now the word here is death, but I'm going to look at it this way, doesn't have to end in disgrace and failure. It doesn't have to end in the worst possible scenario. But God can use this very situation, your and my, our inability to produce results. What's he say here? For the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. You know, it's human nature to think, well, if we had some great ability, then we could do something great for the Lord to bring honor to him. It usually doesn't work that way. It's in our inabilities that the Lord is glorified. Now, keep your finger there, but turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where I believe this principle is dealt with. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 7. Now, the Apostle Paul is writing here, He says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Paul speaks here about this thorn in the flesh, whatever it was, that he wished wasn't there. Just as you and I have those situations in our lives we wish were different. Now, I'll just say in passing here, Paul mentions, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. If we had read the verses preceding that, you know, God had given the Apostle Paul tremendous revelation. But you know, brother, sister, he has also revealed so much truth to you and me. We ought to be thankful for it. It ought to humble us. But you know, we can get proud and lifted up. We can think, well, I'm the people. We're the people. And so God does allow things in our lives, just as he did with Paul, to humble us. But notice, when Paul cried out to the Lord, for the Lord to do something about this situation, in verse 9, the Lord said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee." That is, God's divine enabling, his help, as it were, God is saying, is enough for you. Is it enough for you? Is it enough for me? God's mighty helping, his divine enabling, is it enough? And then he gives this tremendous principle in verse 9. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. That is, God's power is made complete or shown most effectively in your weakness. Listen, I want this to be practical, because Christianity is practical. How can we live to bring glory to God? How can you live to bring glory to God? God is saying here that his power is shown most effectively in those areas of your life where you feel your weakest. Now, pardon me if you've heard this illustration before. I've used it many times, but if it helps get the point across, it'll be worth it. Suppose, and I'm no mechanic here, I know just about nothing about cars, but let me say this. Suppose you have a product, it's a fuel additive, it's something to make your engine run great. And so you want to market this. How would you do it? I'm going to give you two scenarios here. One would be to bring some car that's in the NASCAR races. I mean, the thing goes over 200 miles an hour. You bring that up. You pour the oil additive in. The thing screeches off. What are people going to say? What a car. Okay, picture B. You bring some old beater from the junkyard. It can hardly make it to the starting line. And you wonder if it's going to collapse in a pile of debris right there, but you're pouring the additive. And that thing just springs to life and it screams away. What are people going to say? What an additive. You see the picture. It's not our greatness. It's in our inabilities that the Lord is glorified, that his power is shown most effectively. Now, Paul said, in verse 9 again, he says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." Now, maybe I should have said before that this word that's translated sick or sickness in John 11, here in verse 9, is translated weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Then it's translated infirmities. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." Paul gloried. He boasted in his weaknesses, in his inability to produce results. How about you and me? I think I have a long way to go there. He says, I'll rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Listen, I'll say this. If we could have this attitude, is there anything that would discourage us? Even those weak areas where we feel so helpless is just an opportunity for God to come in and for His power to be displayed. You know, some might say, well, I can't do what he does. I can't do what she does. You know, I can't do this. I can't do that. Man's extremity, God's opportunity. Often stated, but may the Lord help us to put it into practice. Let's go back now to John chapter 11, and I'm glad it's still 7:45. I started at 7:30, right? So I've still got 15 minutes. I'll try to be as short as I can. John chapter 11, just four, hopefully, quick points. Maybe there's something we can learn here. I notice in verse 5 of John 11, it says, Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. In this section where there's so much about sick or sickness, inability to produce results, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Sometimes, because of our weakness and our failure, our inability to produce results, sometimes we doubt the Lord's love for us. Because we live in a society that's measured on success. If you do well, then people appreciate it. Listen, the Lord loves us, whether we succeed, whether we fail. It's an everlasting love. And the verse after that goes on to say that when the Lord heard about Lazarus' situation, he stayed right where he was for 2 days. Didn't budge, didn't move. And you know, sometimes when we tell the Lord about our difficulties, we don't even give him 2 days before we wonder, why hasn't he done something? But I know there are those here, and you have been experiencing inability to produce results in some area or another. It isn't just 2 days. It isn't just 2 weeks or months. Not even 2 years. It's longer than that. And there have been situations that I've been praying about from the time I was saved. But the Lord loves us. Even though He doesn't operate according to our timetable, He loves us. Down in verse 14, we see the situation has gone from bad to worse. The Lord says to His disciples, Lazarus is dead. First he was sick, now he's dead. Has your situation gone from bad to worse? And not only that, in verse 15, the Lord says, And I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there, to the intent you may believe. Situation's gone from bad to worse. The Lord says, He's glad that He wasn't there. That is to do something to heal Lazarus. Why? We think, Lord, this is what you should do. This is the way the situation should be handled, resolved. Listen, Lord sees the big picture. He's going to be glorified in this. My brother, sister, He can be glorified in that situation of yours. Even though it may have gone from bad to worse, even though it may have gone on for a long time, He wants us to trust Him. You know, the situation becomes impossible. Verse 17 says, When Jesus came, He found that Lazarus had lain in the grave 4 days already. Impossible. Now, I just want to mention something about Martha and Mary. Interesting, and I'm sure you've noticed it, that when they meet the Lord, they each say the same thing to Him. Verse 21, verse 32, they say, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Lord, if You'd only been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Now, I don't want to assume too much here. I don't know what the sisters meant by that. But listen, I know how I would feel if that had been me here. Lord, if... Why? And I know there are Christians, and that's where you're at today. Lord, why? Why did it happen like this? Because You could have, but You didn't. Do you ever get disappointed with God? Because it's gone on for so long? Because this situation is so important to you? And do you feel like, excuse me, but writing them off? Somebody has said, when there's some doubt, give the Lord the benefit of the doubt. Listen, the last chapter wasn't written here. And the last chapter hasn't been written in your situation or mine. Do you doubt the Lord's care for you? You know, as we read along here, the Lord comes to where Mary was, and we read in verse 33 that he groaned, he was troubled. Down in verse 35, he wept. It seemed that he didn't care. He didn't come in the first place. He let things go so that Lazarus not only died, but was in the grave 4 days, and they didn't use embalming, from what I understand. The situation looks impossible. But does he care? He cares. Listen, if he would come all the way from heaven and go all the way to a cross for you, is any situation in your life too little, too great for him to be concerned about? Oh, he cares. Peter said, casting all your care upon him, for it matters to him about you. He cares. Interesting that in Hebrews chapter 4, we read that the Lord Jesus is touched with a feeling of our infirmities. Same word again there. Listen, he doesn't berate us. He's not going to scold us for our inabilities, our weaknesses. He sympathizes with those weaknesses. He's for us. He's with us. And he wants to bring honor and glory to himself in those very areas that we wish were changed, were different. But it's in those very areas that his power can be shown most effectively. But let me say one thing about the stone. See, the problem here was Lazarus was dead. Only the Lord could change that. But there was something else. There was a stone, as you know, on the entrance to the tomb. Now, the Lord could have moved that away. But he didn't. He said, take away the stone. Martha objects. She says, in effect, you know, the body, after 4 days, the body would be decomposing already. You're going to take the stone away. I wonder if sometimes, because of our lack of trust in God, we think this situation has gone from bad to worse to impossible. There's no way anything can happen for good out of this. And so we don't do anything. You know, sometimes there may be a person, you've tried to talk to them about the Lord, they're not saved. And I know there are times when you just have to leave them. I know. But I think there are some times when we think, impossible situation. And because we think that God couldn't do anything, we don't do what we can. There was a brother told me many years ago, if we do what we can, God will do what we can't. Sometimes there's things that we could do, but because of our unbelief, you know, we're looking for some great thing, and because we can't see any way that can change, we don't do the little things that are right around our feet. But I want to get to verse 40, and I'm almost done. Sorry, brother, I'm transgressing a few minutes here. I hope you're not starving to death. Verse 40, Jesus says to Martha, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Now, back in verse 4, the Lord, when he heard about Lazarus' situation, said, this sickness, this inability to produce results, is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Here in verse 40, the Lord also said, didn't I tell you, that if you'd only believe, if you'd only trust me, what would happen? The worst would come? The Lord will leave you in the lurch? No, he said, didn't I tell you that if you'd only believe, you'd see the glory of God?